glorious day that God has given us to worship Him today. Amen?
Amen.
It is a blessing to see all of your beautiful faces and spend time together in God's house today. Let me, first of all, welcome all of you. You'll notice in your pews that the pew pads have disappeared, which means that we would greatly appreciate it if you would fill out this flap in your bulletin. On one side, you register your attendance. On the other side, we have your prayer concerns, and you can register for Wednesday night supper. And speaking of Wednesday night supper, we have a change. Our menu has changed this Wednesday night. It is going to be barbecue pork, baked beans, coleslaw, mac and cheese, and dessert. And you don't want to miss it. So just go right ahead and make your reservation for Wednesday night supper. It's a great time of fellowship. And if you want to, you can go and go to Bible study at 6:30. Or you can join the choir if you'd like. You got room for anybody else in the choir, James?
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit?
Always.
Look, how many chairs y'all got back at that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we can add more chairs, so, but please make your red. Look, I got them going now. You hear it? They're all excited. Please make your reservations. Take care of that for me. This morning, I failed last week, but I'm not going to fail today. We have a young man among us who wants to be an Eagle Scout. Do we have any Eagle Scouts in here? Who's an Eagle Scout? We have a few. Well, would you, young man, step forward, tell us who you are? This is not going to be, what is that show we like to watch, Michael? This is not going to be to tell the truth. He's going to tell the truth automatically. So go right ahead. You know that tell, never mind. My brain went somewhere else. Go ahead, Robert.
So my name is Robert Bear.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. And we know that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. 18 days and counting. Right? He's going to get there. If you'll take a look at your announcements very quickly, tonight is our fifth Sunday sing, and we are going to have a great time. It's at 6:30. We are going to be singing probably about 12 songs from the congregation, but we do have our men's group and our choir and a few soloists coming as well. It's going to be a great time. Please be here at 6:30, and then afterwards, our invite team invites you over to have cookies and goodies to share and have fellowship together. So 6:30 tonight, you don't want to miss it. Also, let me announce that United Methodist Women are meeting tomorrow at 12 o'clock. If you are of a female gender, you are welcome to come to UMW, okay? You are a United Methodist woman. 12 o'clock, bring your sandwich. They provide chips and drinks, and we'll have a wonderful time together at 12 tomorrow. You'll see all the other things listed here on your bulletin. Please take stock of those things and be prepared for this upcoming week. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your love and your grace. Holy Spirit, come and receive our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight. May it be a blessing to us, God, as you are a blessing to you, God, as you are a blessing to us. And may all that we do be pleasing in your sight. For we ask it in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand for our call to worship. It's a responsive call to worship in your bulletin. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord.
We are willing to open our lives to God.
Come, let us worship and celebrate God's good news for us.
Let us bring our hopes and prayers to God.
In the small Faith We Sing hymnal, let's sing number 208 as our opening. All things now living, a song of thanksgiving, number 208.
Mm-hmm.
Let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on page 881 in your hymnal. Friends, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please remain standing for our first scripture reading, which comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Jesus had just healed a child and holding the little boy in his arms. And John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not one of us." Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon after to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you to have a great millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life as a lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown in hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown in hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season? Have salt in your lives and be at peace with one another." The word of God for the people of God this day. Thanks be to God. Seated, and as you're being seated, children, come down and meet Miss Kathy. Do you go by Miss Kathy, Miss Kathy Lee, or Miss Kathy Lee Phillips? Anything. Come down and meet Miss Anything.
Come on down, guys.
All of the people all of the animals and all of the shepherds and wise men came to worship Jesus. And I made this. You can tell by the pretty sad shape of the back of it, but anyway, it worked. And have any of you ever been to a fair? You know what a fair is? Where you have rides and candied apples and things like that. The fair is going on in Newnan this week. And I used to love to go to the fair when I was your age. I really did. My mother would only let us go on Tuesday nights because that's the night kids could get in free. And we could ride two rides. One of them had to be a merry-go-round. And I wanted to ride all the fun stuff, you know, the loop-de-loop and the round and around. And she wouldn't let us do that. And once we rode the merry-go-round, we could choose another ride. And we could either get candy, cotton candy or a candied apple. And that was our evening at the fair. But then she wanted to go in and watch all of the things that were on display, you know, all the preserves and all the cakes and all things like that. So I decided back then, when I was old enough, I wanted to put something into the county fair to see if I could win anything or not. You didn't win a lot, but I wanted to see if I could do it. And I put this picture in there. And my husband didn't want me to. He said, I like that picture, and it might get stolen, so don't put it in there. And I said, Jerry, don't worry. I can make another one. Do you know what that picture's made out of?
Ink black.
It's made out of a bunch of X's. You see an X right here?
I know what X.
Yeah, you do it. Just straight across and straight, you know, diagonally and diagonally. And you do that. And you put enough X's in there, and you fill them in with different colored thread. See, if you put several X's on that sheet, it's a different thing. And all of those X's are important. They're very, very important. And do you know what this picture is made out of right here? Can you read it? I love you. And what's it made out of? Exactly. It's made out of X's in the same exact way. And you see all those people out there that are sitting in all of those seats?
And we got a wizard over in the water outside.
They're like children,
yep,
up here, but there are adults at back there. And those are like X's that are filling up all the places at Pine Mountain United Methodist Church. And we want everybody here. We want more children here. We want more people in the choir because we would just like to love more people around us all the time. And what I like about this picture is no X is more important than any other X. They might be different colors, but if you left one out, you could tell it because there would be an empty space there. It's very important that every X be here and be counted, just like every one of us, whether we're a child X or an adult X or choir or piano choir or who we are or the preacher X, everybody needs to be here and be doing their important. Yep, that's all. That's the X. Now, I want to tell you, I won second place in the Coweta County Fair with this. And that was a long year, quite a few years ago. And they said to me,
Almighty and ever-loving God, we are humbled by your grace and your love and your mercy. We come together, God, as the body of Christ in this, your church, at First United Methodist in Pine Mountain. We come together, God, seeking your guidance, seeking your love even more, and seeking to be in fellowship with one another, and especially with you. As we come, God, we do have joys of good things that are going on in our lives, God, joys of sharing living water yesterday at the fair, joys of being your hands and feet in the world around us. We also come with concerns, Lord. Concerns that there are those among us who are hurt and broken. There are those among us who are sick and need your healing power. There are those among us who have lost loved ones and need your strength and your courage. And there are those among us, God, who feel as if no one cares one way or the other. God, we lift all of them to you. We lift the one whom no one is praying for, as well as the one who doesn't think they need you at all. God, we lift to you our homebound, our shut-ins, those who are unable to be here. And God, we lift to you our military. And God, we lift to you our nation, the United States of America. We ask you, God, to speak boldly and to guide us and to heal us and to help us. And God, we ask you to hear the prayers of your people gathered in this place as we boldly pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If our ushers will come to receive this morning's offering.
Gifts, God, may they be pleasing in your sight. Bless Fear shall on me no more have place.
My Savior doth not yet appear.
He hides the brightness of his face.
I guess I have to preach now, right? How do you follow that, right? God is good. God is good. Would you pray with me? God, our strength and our shield, thank you for your holy word, God. May it touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits as we share with one another. And as we have conversation with you, God, we ask you to bless us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you prayed today? Now, I know we prayed in worship. I just prayed a second ago. But have you personally prayed today? If you have prayed, was it a rote prayer or one that you always say? Or perhaps it was a psalm prayer. Next question is, does prayer really work? See, I love that you're answering me. Hallelujah. You know, like, does God really hear our prayers and respond to us? And if he does, what is his response? Like, God might say yes. God might say no. God might say maybe. God might say, you need to do some more soul searching about that. God might say, you might need to do this certain act of belief, showing your belief in God. God has different answers, doesn't he? It's not always the affirmative. The next question is, how should we pray? How should we pray? You know, standing up, sitting down, lying down, on our knees, looking up to God, closing our eyes with our eyes wide open, gazing around us. How should we pray? Well, I found a story. Actually, it's a story I've used many times. It's a story that I love. And I always think about it when I think about prayer. It's the prayer of Cyrus Brown. Has anybody heard this prayer? It's a beautiful prayer. Or it's a beautiful story, I think. The proper way for a man to pray, it says, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. Lots of ways to pray, isn't there? What is prayer? What is prayer? Simply put, prayer is conversation with God. Conversation. It's not all one way. It's not always us. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. Instead, it's, good morning, God, how are you today? Good morning, God, please speak to me today. It is both God and us having a conversation, just like you and I. If I said to you, how are you feeling today? Would you just look at me like you're doing right now? No, you would say, oh, I'm fine, because all of us say that, don't we? You don't always tell what you're really feeling. But you would respond, and then I would respond with, well, you look beautiful today. You look really happy today. And you would say, well, thank you. I've had a really good day. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's a conversation, isn't it? We are to have conversations with God. It's a give and take, a speaking to and listening to on both parts of the parties, us and God. Today is the last day of our focus on the book of James. We've talked about James all month, about Christian behavior, from how we hear and respond to the warnings about our behavior, to learning how to behave as a Christian, to listening more than speaking, slow to speak, James says. We've talked about our faithfulness to God and whether our faith was alive or dead and how to have an active faith in God. Last Sunday, we talked about the topic of wisdom, God's wisdom or the world's wisdom. And today, we complete our walk through the book of James on Christian behavior as we turn to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. If you'll join me in your Bibles, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Hear the word of God for us today. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you'll remember, James is talking to a group of Jewish Christians who've left their homes and is having some issues in the church. Not just some, there were 12 tribes. And I've always said they were in the diaspora, but my Bible tells me that the 12 tribes should actually be called the 12 tribes in the dispersion, called to mind the end time restoration of the scattered people of Israel. Dispersion suggests experience of alienation and homelessness. So there are 12 tribes out in the world trying to figure it out how to go on now that Jesus is gone. In the beginning of chapter 5, James offers a warning to the rich oppressors who have used their wealth as a tool of oppression over others and put themselves on a pedestal of higher importance than others who are struggling in life. He then turns to words about patience and perseverance. And in the midst of suffering, waiting upon the return of the Lord and trusting God. In this text, our text for today, our focus is on sickness, healing, community, and God. How are we, you and I, helping to heal the hurts of those in our midst? In reality, the book of James is about not the individual specifically, but about our community of faith. That's all of us collectively gathered together. And how we are living within this Christian community at Pine Mountain First United Methodist Church. Yeah, did you notice that U word in there? United Methodist Church. James uses a Greek word for the very first time. That Greek word is ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia, and that word means church. He reminds us that sickness affects our whole community of faith. Personal sickness, sin sickness, or the sickness of gossip and slander. James clearly asks us how we treat those who are sick. With nurture or isolation? Nurture or isolation? With value as part of the community or cast aside as encumbrances? Too much trouble. Our focus is on the prayer of the faithful, how we as a community of faith believe in the power of prayer and are fervent in our belief and in our practice of prayer. Prayer offered in faith is the prayer of a righteous person, says verse 16b. And these prayers are powerful and effective. Not just prayer for the sake of prayer, but real life, believe in God and that God will respond kind of prayer. Now it's interesting, James encourages us to use anointing oil. This is my anointing oil. Some of us are a little afraid of that. Like, I don't believe I need no oil on my head. Some of us believe in laying on hands and anointing oil. I know I do. James encourages us. He encourages us to pray in community for the lost, the lonely, the sick, and the suffering in our midst. And he tells us if you are sick and you've asked someone to pray for you and you're still suffering, perhaps you should call the elders. That means those who are actively participating in the church. It doesn't mean elders as in old people. Sorry. They're included. Okay? It means young, older, middle-aged, the pastor, everybody. Call them together. James tells us not to pray in rote. Do you know what rope means? Well, I can sort of help you with that. He tells us to uniquely offer our praises and petitions up to God. When I was a little girl, I was in the Catholic Church, and the prayer that I had to say was the act of contrition when I went to confession. And the way I said the act of contrition was like this. Lord, I'm heartily sorry. Amen. I didn't know what I was praying. I just knew I was praying. I was saying the prayer that he told me to pray. Right? So when we say the Lord's Prayer, and we say it every Sunday. Have you noticed that? If we're saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, then it's not helping us at all. But if we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Do you see the difference? We're praying from our heart. We're praying from our spirit. And we're not just saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? So when we pray, we are to uniquely pray to our God with praises and petitions. That means that praising God is a good thing. Somebody will send me a text, and in fact, I got a text that Jack Story was home, and I said, praise God. That's a praise. That was a prayer. How about that? Do you see? Now, there's one that James encourages us to do that we struggle with. James says we are to confess our sins to one another. Anybody want to do that right now? You've already done it, haven't you, baby? That's right. We don't want anybody to know our sins. We come into church. Hi, how are you? Oh, it's so good to meet you. That's how we come into church. We don't want anybody to know that we just screamed bloody murder at our kids or at our spouse. Or we walk out of church and we get in the car and we say, hurry up and get in the car. I'm ready to go. I'm sorry, but that's sin. It is. We don't want to confess. Now, I can tell you, I identify with this. Many years ago, Michael and I had one of the dearest friends we've ever had. She was almost like a cousin to him. You know the story I'm about to tell. Taylor was a little girl, and Denise was the first person who ever took care of Taylor. And she loved Taylor. That she was always doing things with Taylor, and Taylor was like her little princess. But then she would promise Taylor things, and she wouldn't follow through with it. And you know, Mama always told me and told everybody, you can say what you want to about me, but don't you mess with my youngins. Right? And I had had enough. I was so angry. She had promised Taylor something, and she failed to follow through, and I called her on the phone and I let her have it. And I said, that's it. We are done. We are done. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you around my daughter because you've caused her pain, and I won't have it. Several years later, Denise got sick. In fact, they thought that she was going to die. And I went to her hospital room, and I had seen her from time to time at a distance. And I went to her hospital room, and I came in, and I said, Denise, it's Liza. And I have to tell you that I apologize. I was wrong to have cut you out of my life. I was wrong. You hurt me and you hurt my daughter, and I retaliated. And as the two of us, she lying in the bed, me sitting there holding her hand, cried together. we both forgave each other right then and right there. It's sad that oftentimes we wait until someone's about to die or something horrific is about to happen to go to our fellow friend and say, "I'm sorry," and confess our sin. Today, Denise lives a very full and amazing life with her son, and we are still friends. We are to confess our sins to one another. When you have hurt someone, you and I are to go to them and apologize. James also says, those who have sinned will be forgiven. Forgiveness, that's a whole other sermon series, y'all. Because here's the deal, and I know, my mother told me all the time, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it. You see, we have to forget. You can't constantly, if I've hurt you, and every time you see me, you say, "Oh, hi, it's so good to see you. I still remember what you did to me." No. I can't go back to Denise and say, "I remember what you did a long time ago." You see, we have to forget it and move forward. That's what God calls us to do, is to forgive and move forward. And that is the hardest thing for us to do, partially because we're afraid. We're afraid that person will hurt us again. We're afraid to trust them again. But we must, as a church, as the body of Christ, as a community of faith, we must forgive those who have hurt us, and we must move forward with God's grace. Prayers of the righteous. The righteous are those that are in right relationship with God, a relationship of submission to God, trust and obedience. Do you have that relationship? Sometimes I have that relationship, and sometimes I pull back from that relationship. But the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. You know why? Because God has blessed you. When we are in prayer as a community with two or more of our fellowship, we offer comfort. Say that word, comfort. Touch. Action. And confidence. Most important is confidence. Confidence that God will respond with His presence and power to our needs or concerns. Hallelujah. God hears us when we pray, and God responds. Amen. In the Asbury Bible commentary, it says, prayer in community is activating the presence of the Lord by consciously seeking His involvement. What all this means is that if there is conflict in our church and it is not dealt with, then our whole community of faith is out of sync with God and with each other. Do you hear that? We must, as a community of faith, confess our sins and forgive one another. And that forgiveness has to go beyond saying the words to really forgiving and forgetting the offense. So let me ask you these questions. If you got my email this week, these questions might have made you feel a little uncomfortable. They made me feel uncomfortable. How do we treat those who are weak, sick, or just different? If someone walked in here, I heard this story years and years ago, about a church that had a new preacher. And they were expecting the new preacher, and this man came in. He was in a big old overcoat. Hair was scraggly, bushy beard. Looked really rough and ragged. Oh, sort of like Terry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Terry. You walked right into it. You just walked right into it. This guy comes in. He's not like Terry, because Terry's a sweet man. And this guy was a sweet man. But he walks in, overcoat, hat on, comes in, he comes all the way down to the front pew, and he sits down, and they're like, hey, who's that? Who's that? Who's that guy? Who's that? The lay leader of the church stands up and says, well, y'all, we've been expecting our preacher, but I'm sure he'll be here just any minute. Man on the front row says, I'm right here. Stands up, walks up to the pulpit, and says, did you get it? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You see, he showed them that they needed to accept anyone and everybody. Any and all. So how do we treat those among us who are weak, sick, or just different? What healing ministry does our church do? What do we offer as a healing ministry? I can think of a few things. How about the open door that we are collecting items for the homeless in Columbus? How about the pastor's food pantry? How about Focus? How about going to visit? There are many of you that visit our shut-ins that I don't even know about. And it tickles me when I find out about it. It just makes my heart so happy. Ask yourself this question: how can I be a part of the healing ministry of our church through my prayers, works, and actions? If you're not a part of it, then perhaps it's time to get on board. Is there someone in our church family that I have hurt with my words or actions that I need to repair with a heartfelt apology or action or forgiveness? I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer it for me. Is my Christian behavior growing more in wisdom and grace? If not, what is it that I need to change? How do I need to change? You see, we're work in progress, always changing, growing, right? My mother used to say, when you stop learning, you stop growing. Who has left our community of faith because of hurtful words or actions that we need to seek out, apologize, or forgive and bring them back into the fold? We are not seeking to invite them because they are cherished. We are not seeking to invite them because we need numbers, or we need money, or we need, but instead because they are cherished and valued by all of us. Hard questions, but questions I think that we all need to think about if we're going to continue to grow together as the body of Christ and the community of faith at First United Methodist Church of Pine Mountain. You see, a follower of Christ Jesus is one whose actions, words, and behavior speak love. Love. It's the universal language, isn't it? That is our goal, to love unconditionally as Christ has loved us, to offer agape love to each other and all those in our sphere of influence. The children are studying 1 Corinthians 13. Perhaps we need to take a look at it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Our challenge this week is to read through chapter 5 if you haven't done so. Look inside your heart and ask God to reveal any sin against the church community that has not been confessed, and to help you to confess it to God. If you want to have some time with me to talk, I am so available to you. Please call me, text me, send me an email. We'll get together. If you feel the need to have others come together, the elders of the church, those who want to pray, those who believe in the power of anointing oil and laying on of hands, those who just want to come and pray here in this beautiful sanctuary that God has given us. On Wednesday this week at 5 o'clock, here in the sanctuary, for anyone who wants to pray individually or together for our church, our unity, and our mission to share the love of Christ with all, please come at 5 o'clock. We will pray together. We will spend time in quiet solitude. Actually, it won't be quiet because our voices will be raised up to God. I want to tell you, yesterday we had a great, and I know our time is drawing near. We're already 2 minutes after. I have a little clock. I pay attention. I don't pay attention, but I pay attention. Yesterday at the fair, when I got there, I hope she won't mind me sharing this. When I got there, one of our members came up to me and said, "Boy, you should have been here earlier." I said, "Really, what happened?" I offered our bottle of water and our little bag with our goodies in it and our mint to these two ladies. And they said, "You talking about that church right over there?" Point to our church. She said, "Yes, yes. We'll never go to that church again." Why? We went to that church, it's been several years ago. We went to that church, and when we walked in, nobody welcomed us. Nobody said hello. In fact, when they looked at us, they went, turned away. We were not treated very nicely. That is the meanest church in the community. I might have embellished just a little bit. Never will we go back. Of course, our beautiful and beloved member said, "Please forgive us and please give us another opportunity. We have a new pastor. We'd love for you to come and meet her. We'd love for you to be at our church. And we'd love for you to give us an opportunity." They refused to take any information. Is that the kind of reputation we have? If it is, we're in trouble. I don't think it is. I was shocked because to me, we are one of the friendliest, most kindest churches I've ever been in. Amen. Now, I know I'm a little biased because I'm the pastor and you're supposed to love me no matter what, right? I pray. We have to ask God to forgive our church for any past sins and help us to come together in unity to fulfill our vows to the church and to work together in Christian harmony to further the growth of God's kingdom on earth through the love of Jesus Christ to the community, to each other, and to the world. So take time this week to think about the vow you made to the United Methodist Church, or perhaps you haven't made the vow yet, and it's time for you to do that. The vow simply says, "I will support this United Methodist Church with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness for the transformation of the world." Last thing, and I'm going to close. Take time to reach out to those who have chosen to stay away. You know who they are. I could stand here and name names. But would that really do any good? You know who needs to be reached out to. and who to offer love to. Reach out. I'm one person. There are many of you. Please reach out with love. Invite them back. Show them kindness, acceptance, and love. And let them know how much we miss them. I'm going to end with this. This is a story I read. The 5th century Talmud records a story about righteous Elijah. And James talks about Elijah in this text for today. And the power of prayer. The story says that Elijah would frequently visit a certain rabbi, and one day he didn't show up. And the rabbi waited and waited, but he did not come. The next day, when Elijah did get there, the rabbi said, "Why didn't you come yesterday? Are you okay? What's up?" Elijah replied, "I had to wake up Abraham, help him wash his hands, let him do his prayers, and then put him back, lie him back down again. So I had to do this. And then I had to wake up Isaac and Jacob and wash their hands and wait until they prayed and make them lie down again, each in turn, one at a time." And the rabbi said, "Well, why didn't you awaken all of them at the same time and do it all at the same time?" "Oh no," Elijah replied. "I know that if they prayed together, their prayers would be so powerful that they would bring the Messiah before his time." Prayer is our powerful tool that God has given us. May we pray so fervently that Jesus might decide to come back early. May we pray so fervently that the power of the Holy Spirit moves in our church in such a way as to show the love of Christ beaming out to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our" what?
Love.
Love, absolutely. Let's stand together. Number 2223 in Your Faith We Sing. Let the doors of the church be open for anyone who would like to join our church by a profession of faith in Jesus Christ or a transfer of membership where you've already made that profession. And let the doors of the church be open so that we might go to love and serve as the Lord has taught us. Let's sing.
Thank you. Thank you.